Yes, I'll use this one. One of the challenges of being a guest speaker. Very good morning to all of you. Thank you for inviting me and my family today for this Thanksgiving service. We are really honored to be here with you. Now, during the Stampede Week in Calgary, the city temporarily becomes a cow town. And you can see cowboy themes everywhere, and lots of fake cowboys as well. Maybe you got the real cowboys in Red Deer. Even the churches in Calgary take on a Stampede theme. So this past summer in July, it was Stampede Week. And our church had a Stampede theme. If you looked at the stage, it was decorated with farming equipments and figures of horses. The worship band was in a Western wear, and they sang country gospel songs. Everything was great, but they made one mistake. They scheduled me to preach. I went on stage and looked at my church and said, "Do you think they got the wrong guy up here on Stampede Week?" They laughed at me. You know, when your church invited me for Thanksgiving, I chuckled because I've never celebrated Thanksgiving in my life. Mind you, it's a North American holiday. So I didn't have any clue about Thanksgiving until we came here. In fact, the first time I ate turkey was 4 years ago when I came to Canada. So you think they got the wrong guy up here on Thanksgiving? Well, you'll find out. Thanksgiving may be a cultural holiday, but the theme of Thanksgiving runs through the scriptures. We don't give Thanksgiving just on the day of Thanksgiving, right? If we just give thanks on Thanksgiving, it's like buying a present for your wife just on your anniversary. Yes, we do celebrate special days like anniversaries, but I'm sure our wives will appreciate a little more regularity. Uh-oh, I better not go there, because I know my wife is listening. Next time when I come alone, we will carry on that topic. One of the most often used vocabularies in our day-to-day life is the word thank you. You'll be surprised how many times we use the word thank you in a single day. Thank you is a simple acknowledgement of a favor received. So we let others know that we are truly grateful for what they've done for us. And we know that this word works very well in social relationships. But the question that I have for us today is, how much of our thanksgiving is directed towards God? Because He is the source of all blessings, the one from whom all blessings flow, and we are receivers, takers, and beneficiaries. A thankful heart acknowledges this truth, our dependence on God. And oftentimes in our life, when everything seems to be going smoothly, we don't recognize that dependence. But it's when our marriage hits a rough patch, or the doctors make a serious diagnosis, we lose our job or face financial challenges, then we realize that we are not self-sufficient, but we are dependent on God. So a thankful person is a person who has expressed his dependence on the Lord. The Bible says in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, "Give thanks to God in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." We often wonder about the mystery of God's will, but according to this verse, if you're able to give thanks, then you are right in the center of God's will. And thankfulness ought to characterize all circumstances of our life. When you're able to truly give thanks in all circumstances, that is an indication that you're walking close with God. And the reverse is true. When we grumble and complain, then it's a sign that we are walking far from God. So have you given thanks to God for all His blessings? We talk so much today about IQ and EQ. I want to ask you, what is your GQ, your gratitude quotient? Your gratitude quotient can go higher only when you fix your eyes, not just on the blessings, but on the source of all blessings. And I want to offer a simple devotional message for us today that will help us to celebrate Thanksgiving more meaningfully. It's from a familiar passage in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. I'm going to ask all of us to stand up as we read God's word, taken from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the borders between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Shall we pause for a moment to prayer? Father, we come before your presence today, knowing that you are here in this place. And thank you for your inspired words. They speak to us. But our prayer, Lord, is that you would give us a fresh message that will take us to a new level of thanksgiving. That when we come to the end of this message, our hearts will truly be overwhelmed with gratitude for all that you have done for us. For we ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, even our speaker this morning. Amen. You may be seated. It's a familiar passage, but in order to grasp the significance of this healing, you got to understand the condition of lepers during those times. You don't want to live in ancient Israel if you were a leper. Leprosy is a terrible disease that basically causes you to lose your sense of pain. So a leper would become completely numb to pain, wouldn't feel pain anymore. As a result of that, the leper would hurt himself unknowingly and literally lose the fingers in his hands and his toes. They say at the last stage of this disease, when it has progressed fully, a leper can literally dip his hand in boiling water and not feel any pain. I've seen several lepers in India. But as you look at the context of leprosy in ancient Israel, Jewish rabbinic law says no one can come closer than 6 feet distance to a leper because they will become unclean or defiled. The temple did not allow them inside for worship. No one spoke any meaningful words of love or affirmation to the lepers. At the most, they will fling a coin at them. If a rabbi were to stumble across a leper, the leper would be castigated for coming so close to somebody as holy as a rabbi. The lepers had to live outside the city walls, and whenever they saw somebody approaching, they had to yell out, "Unclean, unclean," so people would clear and make way for them. So this explains why in this passage, the 10 lepers stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And through the Gospels, you will see that Jesus broke all the social rules and norms of his time. He reached down and touched the lepers. And for the very first time in their life, they received a meaningful touch. The Pharisees, who were the religious leaders of those times, believed that if they were to touch a leper, they would become defiled. But when Jesus touched the lepers, he did not become defiled. They became clean. Isn't that radical? The heart of compassion of our Lord Jesus Christ. He restored their dignity and gave them equal status as God's children. Several times in the Gospels, says Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw somebody in distress. And it is a word that is used to express how a mother feels for the child in her womb. So if you're pregnant or have been pregnant, you get it. Every time you feel that movement inside your tummy, there's something churning inside your heart as well. And that's the language that is being depicted in the scripture to see how God looks at us. And we are so precious in his eyes. So the lepers were in a miserable state, but Jesus looked at them with love. And he told them, go and show yourself to the priests. And we see what happens right after that. They all receive an instant healing. All 10 of them healed. But 9 of them go their own way. And only one person returns back to give thanks. This is a common story. We have probably read it a number of times. And every time we come across this, we say to ourselves, oh yes, I need to be a little more thankful in my life. And we move on. But as you take time to ponder this passage of scripture, you would be able to glean some real profound truths, particularly about gratitude. There was a recent news item in CNN, and it said those looking for happiness and satisfaction in life should move to Northern Europe. A survey of 156 countries revealed Denmark, Norway, Switzerland, the Netherlands, and Sweden are the world's happiest countries. Canada was ranked number 6 in that list. You know, I don't fully agree with this survey, but what I do know is that the happiest people in the world are not the ones who possess everything, but the happiest people in the world are those who have a grateful heart. And it really does not matter where you live, what your circumstances are, if you have the attitude of gratitude. But unfortunately, in our materialistic culture in North America, it has resulted in such entitlement and very little feelings of gratitude. I want to show you 3 things from this passage as we reflect on being grateful this Thanksgiving weekend. Firstly, gratitude acknowledges not just the blessing, but the source. Gratitude acknowledges not just the blessing, but the source. So when we read this story, we cannot help but be struck by the fact that just one person would return back to give thanks. The other 9 went their own way. Now it defies logic, doesn't it? You were ostracized by the society. When you were diagnosed with leprosy, your life came apart, as it seems. You were living out a literal death sentence. How can you forget the one who healed you and gave you a release? All 10 lepers came in desperation. Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And Jesus directs them to go to the priest. So the Old Testament law required that the priests were to serve as health inspectors. So when somebody claims healing from leprosy, they were to inspect and make sure that they were fit to once again fellowship with the mainstream society. And note this here, Jesus is telling them to go to the priests while they were still lepers. I mean, what will they show to the priests? Because when Jesus spoke those words, nothing happened. So they take a few steps in the direction, they trust in the words of Jesus. And then, the last part of verse 14 says, as they went, they were cleansed. So believing in Jesus, taking a few steps of faith, going in the direction to where the priests are, they receive this healing. Instantly, miraculous healing takes place. All 10 of them are completely restored. And you can imagine the excitement. I am healed. I am normal. I can go back to my family. I don't have to live in the dumps anymore. All 10 were leaping with joy. All 10 were truly grateful. All 10 felt thankful. They all were absorbed by their blessings. They all were celebrating. But one of them was absorbed not just by the blessing, but return back to give thanks to the source. Gratitude acknowledges not just the blessing, but the source, the one from whom they come. And the danger is we can be so obsessed with the blessing that we can forget the blesser. The God who bestows gifts on us so generously. And all of us have many blessings to be thankful for. No matter how difficult are the circumstances of our life, we can still be truly thankful for the blessings that surround us. And the question this Thanksgiving is not if you're grateful or thankful, but can you attribute these blessings to God and thank Him for it? That's the bottom line. Because apparently, it matters to God whom we credit our blessings. For the most part, people attribute it to themselves. I worked hard. I put in all the efforts. I studied hard to go to graduate school. I had the DNA of success in me, in my family line. In essence, we say I'm successful today because of me, my efforts. Remember hearing this story as a little boy. Once upon a time, there was a frog that lived in a small pond. Because of an extensive spell of hot weather, the pond was drying up. And the frog knew that if things continued the same way, he would dry up too. The frog received word about a stream that was across the hill that had enough water, and he desperately wanted to relocate. But he also knew that it was quite a long journey, and he would never be able to make it on his own. And as he was speculating on this problem, he had a eureka moment, and a brilliant idea flashed in his mind. He convinced two birds to carry either end of a stick, and the frog had to bite the center of the stick for grip as the birds carried him over the hill. It was quite a spectacular sight. What a way to travel. Can you imagine two birds, a stick, a frog in the middle with his jaws clamped tightly? And as the trio were soaring high in the air, they were crossing a farm. A cow that was grazing in the farm looked up and saw this spectacular sight and was so impressed that he asked a question out loud. Who came up with this brilliant idea? The frog overheard the question, couldn't resist giving a response, and opens its mouth to say, I did. If you're an animal lover, you don't want to know what happened to the frog. Now that's a funny story, but how easy it is to attribute our success to ourselves and say, I did it. But the truth is, we are what we are only by God's grace. Not because we are smarter or cleverer or we work harder or we are better off than others or we had a better education or an excellent upbringing. It's the grace of God that's the distinguishing factor. For some reason, the source of all blessings chose to lavish His grace upon our lives. The Apostle Paul asked this question in 1 Corinthians 4:7. What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? Can you ponder for a moment? What do you have that you did not receive? We all are receivers, takers, and beneficiaries. God is the giver of all good things. And we are what we are only by His grace. So it's not enough to be just grateful, but we are required to give thanks to God personally. So in this passage in verse 15, say one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. This leper praised and glorified God because he knew that the leprosy didn't disappear by accident. It wasn't just that he was having a lucky day and it was a sheer coincidence that he was healed. He knew that it was Jesus who performed this healing. And he needed to attribute it to Christ. The other day when I was driving, I saw a homeless man with a sign that said, down on my luck. I need help. God bless you. something wrong with that statement, because luck and God don't go together. In fact, there's nothing called luck, nor there is a lucky person, because luck attributes everything to chance. But we thank God that our lives are not governed by chance, but they are governed by a compassionate and gracious God who directs us and leads us. And none of us like ingratitude. Think about it. I'm sure you have somebody in mind whom you helped so much. You went out of your way to do something for them, and they never thanked you for it, and you feel awful about it. Even when we are driving, a person wants to get into our lane, and we let them in, and we express that courtesy for them to be able to say thank you to you. Big deal, but we expect it. And when such expectations aren't met, we start interacting in sign languages. If we expect thanks in return for a small act of kindness, is it unreasonable that God expects thanks for all that he has done for us? So this leper knew clearly that it was Jesus who healed him. Anyone can acknowledge a blessing, but only a few people can acknowledge the source. So while you enjoy the gifts, don't forget the giver. When you sit around your family table to share the things that you're thankful for, don't forget to credit the source of all blessings. The second thing we see in this passage, gratitude brings you closer to Jesus. Gratitude brings you closer to Jesus. So the passage opens up with these words. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance, totally alienated. There's a huge distance. Distance from family, distance from the entire society, and distance from God. And the story highlights the fact that this one leper who came back to thank Jesus was a Samaritan. Samaritans were a racially mixed people group, and they were looked down by the Jews. There was a great hostility that existed between these two people groups. They couldn't get along with each other, and the Jews treated them as racially inferior, and therefore they were hated. See, we don't have the same level of hierarchy here in North America, but where I come from in India, this is being primarily expressed through the caste system. Some of you would have heard about it, how the lower rungs in the caste system suffer the brunt of social injustices. And there's a category of people called the Dalits who don't fit into the caste system and therefore considered as outcasts. A few years ago, 5 young Dalit men were lynched and their bodies burnt in front of a police station. And the crime that they had committed was to skin a dead cow. And a prominent leader of a Hindu fanatical group was quoted in the newspaper saying, "The life of a cow is more valuable than the life of these Dalits." And that is why the Christian message is so meaningful to the oppressed people, the ones who have been marginalized, because they are given dignity and equated as God's children. And in this Bible passage we are studying, the Samaritan leper was like a Dalit, an outcast, looked down because of his ethnicity and his disease. And Jesus reached out to him. He is healed. So verse 15 says, "One of them, when he saw that he was healed, he came back." Probably the most important phrase in this entire passage is that word, "he came back." Because gratitude and thanksgiving involves returning back. It's going back to the source of all blessings. It's sweeping our memories and refreshing it and reliving our good moments and attributing it to God. He came back praising God in a loud voice. He's not shy, he's not quiet, he's not mumbling these words, but he is glorifying God in a loud voice. Thank you, Jesus. Notice this. Earlier in the passage, it says that all 10 lepers cried out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." I tell you, it is easier to clamor when we make known our complaints and prayers to God in a loud voice. But can our thanksgiving be louder than our complaints and requests? And this leper does not just go back. He's praising God in a loud voice, and then the passage says he threw himself at Jesus' feet. He is prostrate before Jesus, face on the ground. What a picture of dependence. It is an acknowledgement of his dependence on Jesus, and that's what essentially thanksgiving is. Acknowledging our dependence on God, that we owe it all to him. And the end of the verse 16 reminds, and he was a Samaritan. Gratitude had brought the Samaritan, an outcast, distance from the society, distance from God, closer into fellowship. And the distance now had been bridged. It can happen to you today. You may have never been in a church for a long time. You may think God is far from you. But if you can be grateful and express your gratitude to God for all his blessings, that distance is bridged. God comes nearer to you. It will bring you to Jesus' feet. Gratitude has the power to bridge the distance and bring you closer to God. And lastly, gratitude brings wholeness. Wholeness. Jesus asked three questions. Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? See, Jesus was no diplomat. Someone said a diplomat is somebody who tells you to go to hell, but says it in such a way that you actually look forward to the trip. You won't find that with Jesus. His statements and questions were always penetrating and direct. And as you read these set of questions, it is obvious that Jesus was not slightly disappointed. He was actually shocked, appalled, saddened to see 9 of them just go away after receiving the blessing. Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give thanks to God except this foreigner? And sadly, that is the expression that Jesus has sometimes when he looks at our life. A look of shock and utter disappointment. Did I not take care of you? Did I not answer your prayers? Did I not walk with you when you were lonely? Where is your gratitude? The passage finishes with these stirring words, and he looks at this Samaritan and he says, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Your faith has made you well. And the word used there is the word wholeness. So in essence, he's saying your faith has made you whole. Jesus extended to him not just a physical blessing, but a complete restoration. The 9 received healing from leprosy, but this man received much more. He received his healing, but he also received forgiveness and a hand of friendship. If all we can thank God for today is just our material blessings, then we are like the 9. But if we can acknowledge the wholeness that Jesus Christ brings to us, then we are saying, "Thank you, Jesus, for making me whole. Not just the physical, much more than that, much more." Author Max Lucado, in one of his books, mentioned about an archaeologist and researcher named William Ratche. William's passion is to study the garbage and dump in the society. So he excavates the trash dumps of the world. So he and his research students go to dumpsters with surgical gloves and masks and meticulously analyze the household waste. And his organization is called the Garbage Project, that travels all around the world excavating landfills. And they use that information to make some interesting observations, like on our eating habits, dress styles, and economic levels. The word garbology has entered the Oxford Dictionary largely because of the contribution of this man. It's defined as the study of community or culture by analyzing its waste. All of this to say, we can learn a lot by looking at junk and rubbish. And the truth is, there is a dumpster inside each of us, and it's filled with garbage and trash. And we can learn a lot when we take time to look at it. Because oftentimes these things are shoved under the carpet. But if you dare to actually take a closer look at it, it will reveal a lot about you. They have everything there, from divorce papers, unpaid bills, painful stories of betrayal, childhood abuse, addictions, insecurities, all kinds of hurts and pains. And by analyzing that garbage, you get a clear picture of where you are in life. And sometimes that garbage will reveal that we are broken and crushed by the circumstances of our life, and we desperately need inner healing. It reveals that we are overwhelmed by anxiety and stress, and we need those burdens to be lifted up. It reveals that we suffer from the pain of broken relationships and hurtful exchanges, and we desperately need love. And it is time we stop looking for love and approval in all the wrong places and come to the source of all blessings, because He can fill you with His unconditional love. But do you know what the problem is with most of us? We think we can do it ourselves. Our culture is so big on self-help techniques. We think we can do it all on our own. You go to Amazon.com and just type self-help, it will return close to 450,000 resources. It baffles me. It baffles me that in spite of all of these resources, our problem list only seems to be growing. And you will find titles like The Positive Thinking Secret, The Stress-Free You, How to Live Stress-Free and Feel Great Every Day Starting Today, How to Light Up a Room, 55 Techniques to Help You Increase Your Charisma, Build Rapport, and Make People Like You. All these catchy titles and plethora of resources, and do you know what's the problem with them? They just don't work. Because the self-help philosophy says, find yourself, the answer is in you. But the longer you look to yourself, you are going to be disappointed. But if you can, when you come to the ends of your life, if you can look outside of yourself to the source, then you will come to the acknowledgement that you need God in your life. Find these verses in Psalm 103, verses 1 to 4. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. What struck me was that sentence, He redeems your life from the pit. Because the person depicted in this psalm is in a dumpster, and his life is a total mess, deeply entrenched in trash. But the psalmist gives us hope when he says, God redeems our life from the pit, and He does the same even today. Jesus loves us too much to leave us in that pit, so He extends His hand of rescue to bring us over to Him. I was 18 years old, raised in a Hindu family. Didn't have a clue about the Christian faith. I was holding a book in my hand. At the time, I didn't know that it was going to change my life. It had stories of young people whose lives were like trash. Part of gangs, addicted to drugs, living in the streets, in a dumpster, so to speak. And Jesus, the story said, reached out to them and brought a powerful transformation in their life. He made something beautiful out of that trash. And as an 18-year-old, I paused and I wondered, how is it possible? How is it possible that God would reach out to people? I thought that he's going to be furious with them after all that they had done. And then I heard about the message of the cross. Because at the cross of Jesus Christ, you see the fury of God. You see his fury, his righteous indignation against sin that resulted in the death of Jesus. But at the cross, you also see a different kind of fury. It's the fury of his love for us. And in the words of Brennan Manning, we are objects of his furious love. Religions emphasize on the fury of God, but Jesus Christ came to show God's furious love. And it was that furious love that was on display when he looked at the Samaritan leper and he said, "Your faith has made you well. It has made you whole. You are out of the pit. Get up as somebody who has been set free." And it's only Jesus who can say those words. It's only Jesus who can bring that complete transformation in a person. But for that to happen, we got to be at his feet. We got to be in complete surrender to him. We got to open our hands and say, "Jesus, I need you." It's only as you receive this wholeness, you can have a grateful heart. It's only as you have a grateful heart, you can celebrate Thanksgiving meaningfully. And our culture has made us to believe that we need more and more things in order to be grateful. That's a lie. That's a lie. You don't need more and more things. What we need is a new heart. And that's what Christ offers us. And this heart is a heart of gratitude. And it brings wholeness even today. I'm going to finish with this story. It's going to tie in everything that I've said today. The Auschwitz concentration camp became the killing center during World War II, where the largest number of European Jews were murdered by the Nazis. In order to discourage escape, Auschwitz had a rule. If one person escaped, then 10 men will be put to death in retaliation. In July 1941, they thought a man had escaped from the concentration camp. And the irony was, actually, he had drowned and died. But the commander in charge of the camp shouted, "The fugitive has not been found. You all will pay for this. 10 of you will be locked in a starvation bunker without food or water until you die." The prisoners trembled in terror. They randomly called out numbers of prisoners, and they stepped forward. They would never be seen again. That would be the end of their life. And as a number was being called out, a man cried, "My poor wife, my poor children, what will they do?" And while he uttered this cry of dismay, a priest who was a fellow prisoner named Maximilian Kolbe stepped silently forward, took off his cap, and he stood before the commander and he said, "I am a Catholic priest from Poland. I would like to take his place. He has a wife and children." The commander remained silent for a moment. And then, surprisingly, he granted that request. The young man was spared, and the old priest died in his place. And later, the young man wrote these words, "I could only thank him with my eyes. I was stunned and could hardly grasp what was going on. The immensity of it. I, the condemned, am to live, and someone else willingly and voluntarily offers his life for me, a stranger. Is this some dream? I was put back into my place without having had time to say anything to Maximilian Kolbe. I was saved. And I owe to him the fact that I could tell you all this. It was the first and the last time that such an incident happened in the entire history of Auschwitz. The man went on to live another 50 years and died at the age of 95. But he never forgot the one who took his place. For the next 5 decades, every year he went back to Auschwitz just to pay homage to the man who took his place. Now, as you think about this story and apply this to yourself, each of us who truly understand the gospel of Jesus and what Jesus has done for us will actually be able to say these words: I could only thank him with my eyes. I was stunned and could hardly grasp what was going on. The immensity of it, I, the condemned, am to live, and someone else willingly and voluntarily offers his life for me, a stranger. Is this some dream? The only difference, this is not a stranger. This is a God who loves you so much, who has been pursuing you all along. He wants to make you an object of his furious love. When you and I deserve punishment for all the wrongs we have done, he took it on himself. And today, every blessing that we have flows from the cross of Jesus. Forgiveness from our sins, our family, home, job, health, everything flows from the cross. When we can confess that from our heart, then we are ready to celebrate Thanksgiving meaningfully. Let me finish with this verse. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. It is not enough to feel grateful. We need to express it. And I want to give an opportunity for you to do that. I'm going to ask all of us to stand up. When you came in today, you would have received something like this. Can you please take this out? Can you please take this sheet of paper? And this paper says, Lord Jesus, I thank you for. And I want to give you an opportunity right now to fill those blanks. As you think about your life, what is that one thing